I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The much-vaunted pivot to Asia. President Obama says it's a centerpiece of his foreign policy, and Asia should be the focus over the next few days for him as he visits Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, and the Philippines. But Russia keeps pulling America's attention back to Europe. Today, while Obama talked about security commitments in Asia, the Pentagon was deploying 600 troops to military exercises in Europe to reassure Russia's nervous neighbors. David Gordon was director of policy planning at the State Department for the last 2 years of the Bush administration. He's now with the Eurasia Group.
It's an interesting one for President Obama because when Obama articulated the so-called pivot to Asia, it was about reassuring U.S. friends and allies in the region that the U.S. is really committed to this part of the world. And that was all fine. This was 4 or 5 years ago when they were under a lot of pressure from China and we were in the midst of the downturn caused by the financial crisis. Today, the interesting challenge is that the Asian allies are looking at what Obama has been doing in both the Middle East and vis-a-vis Russia and feeling unsecure. So this notion that you could reassure the Asian allies by announcing this shift of some military resources to Asia and that we're going to concentrate economically on Asia as the most dynamic part of the world hasn't fully reassured the Asians. They look back at the U.S. in the Middle East and the U.S. vis-a-vis Russia and say, wow, if Obama isn't being tough on Assad in Syria and on Putin, is he really going to back us if the Chinese put the pressure on? So it's a big dilemma here. I think the fact of the matter is that the United States can't really fully pivot to Asia.
And more clues to the China-U.S. relationship came out ahead of the trip. The president gave an interview, a written interview, to Japan's Yomiuri newspaper, and they were talking about Japan's claims to the Senkaku Islands disputed. They dispute with China. Specifically, the president wrote, the Senkaku Islands are administered by Japan and therefore fall within the scope of Article 5 of the U.S.-Japan Treaty of Mutual Cooperation and Security. I mean, how significant is that U.S. claim that those are, in fact, Japanese islands?
That's really no change from what the U.S. has been saying from the very beginning of this crisis, that the U.S. position is that we don't take a stance on the sovereignty issues, but these islands are legitimately administered by Japan. Therefore, they're covered under the treaty. But the fact that he was willing to state that again at the beginning of this visit really speaks to the fact that this trip is about reassuring allies.
I mean, it sounds like you're saying nothing short of U.S. credibility is on the line in Asia right now.
I think there's a big challenge to U.S. credibility in Asia right now. I think it actually has somewhat less to do with China, ironically. I think that the China piece in many ways is the easiest one for the president to handle. I think he's going to do that reasonably well. I mean, that was the message that Secretary Hagel sent in Beijing 2 weeks ago. That's the message that the president sent with his interview, the explicit statement about the status of the islands. So I actually think that piece of it is the most straightforward.
Well, what's the toughest piece of the puzzle?
Well, I think the two much tougher pieces are, one, the economic commercial piece. Is the United States, is the president at the end of the day going to be willing to push a trade agreement that his own caucus is pretty skeptical about, his own party is pretty skeptical about? That's one. And then the second is he going to stand up to Putin in a way that reassures the Asian allies that commitments that an American president is making are real?
David Gordon of the Eurasia Group and former director of policy planning at the State Department speaking with us from Washington. Thank you very much.
Great to be here with you today.